Hey guys, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and welcome to another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. Got off-season training right around the corner, so a lot of people, it's on their mind thinking back on how we did this last riding season and how we want to, you know, attack some of our weaknesses and work on coming in the next riding season, you know, ready to do even better. So wanted to cover a couple of things to help you guys make better decisions with your off-season training, because you know it's the saying's true, like riders are built in the off-season. Like what you do now is going to play a big role in how you perform next riding season, so making sure you have some sort of plan to help you do that in the most efficient and most effective manner possible is a really important part of making sure that you're progressing as a rider year after year. I mean, let's face it, nothing is more frustrating than feeling like you're not able to see the progress that you want. You know, you kind of get stuck in a rut. You're just kind of riding the same trails the same way year after year. And so it definitely takes more than just kind of, you know, wishing that things will get better and actually having some sort of plan and then trying to execute it. So what I wanted to cover in this podcast specifically are a couple of mistakes that I see riders making with their off-season training plan. Now, the word periodization is something I'm going to use in this podcast, and periodization is just a fancy word for plan. There's a lot of different periodization methods and models, but they all boil down to that they're a plan. So you have some sort of plan for how you're progressing and what you're trying to do at different stages, and most of them share the characteristics of having four phases. You have a transition phase, you have a general physical prep or base phase, you have a specific physical prep phase, and then you have your competition phase. And so however they address those things at those times may be different, but any good periodization scheme, most of them will have that as part of it. So what I wanted to do is talk about not making good use of the basic periodization principles. So that's the first thing I wanted to cover. And that's one, like I said, the first mistake that people make is they don't make good use of the periodization principles that I was just talking about. So they don't have a complete plan. They don't really have a good complete plan. They may have some sort of plan, but it's not really complete. And they usually leave out one or two of the phases from what I was just talking about. And the first one is the transition phase. And this may actually be the first time that some of you have heard that term. And the transition phase is one of those things that doesn't get talked about a lot, because it basically means you're not doing much of anything from a training or riding standpoint. So it's not real sexy to talk about not training when, you know, as part of a training program, but it is an important part of your yearly plan. When you're done with the riding season, your body is beat up. You're probably, you know, mentally, you know, I won't use the word burned out, but you're probably not as mentally fresh as you were at the beginning of the season and just as chomping at the bit to get out on the trail quite like you were. And so you want to give your mind and your body a chance to recover and re-energize. And so you want to take, like, you know, 2, 3, maybe even 4 weeks and get away from the bike. Now, when I tell a mountain biker or a serious rider to get away from the bike, what that means is they're going to end up getting out for like maybe 1, maybe 2 rides, and they're going to take it easy on those rides because they're feeling guilty because they're not supposed to be out there. So when I say get away from the bike, I don't literally mean that you can't ride your bike, although, I mean, honestly, for some people, they may find that they don't even want to look at their bike, and that's totally fine. So take a couple weeks, get away from the bike, get away from serious training, and just let your body and your mind re-energize. So make good use of that transition phase. Like I said, people too often just roll right into off-season training from the end of a hard riding season, and that fear is that if they take some time off, they're going to lose their riding fitness. And, you know, I got something that I was told once, and you know, I think back on when I'm afraid of taking a break from stuff, is that if you lose it after a few weeks, you never really had it in the first place. So if you really have, you know, your fitness and your skills and stuff, then it's not going to take that long to get it back if you take a few weeks off. So again, we're not talking about months and months, you know, just a few weeks up to a month, just kind of getting away from the stuff to give your mind, your body a chance to re-energize. And like I said, the main thing there is it gets you hungry to train. So when you're like, when you are back, it's like, man, I want to get in the gym and work out. I want to be getting back on my bike and training. Like, that's when you know, all right, that's good. That's what we wanted from this transition phase. It's gotten us hungry to train again. So that leads us into the next phase, which again is a phase that a lot of people don't make most efficient use of or best use of, and that's the general physical prep phase. And the general physical prep phase is, again, this is the time when riding is de-emphasized. So again, it's not that you're not riding, it's not that you're not on your bike, it's that it's not emphasized. Like, has to be a point where riding your bike and the specific fitness that you need on the bike aren't the most important things. It can't be most important all the time. So you have to have a period where things like cross training, things like, you know, because cross training is great, like doing something like, I personally do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So doing a martial art, doing, you know, some sort of other sport, you know, indoor soccer or, you know, just whatever, just find some other physical activity that you enjoy doing. And if there is nothing else that you enjoy doing, like, honestly, you need to expand your horizons a little bit. There is a world beyond riding a bike. I know it's blasphemous to say in some circles, but it's true. And you'll find that you'll be a more well-rounded person and a better rider if you do something else besides just ride your bike, even if it's just running, just something that's besides riding your bike. So having some sort of cross-training activity that you use as a way to, you know, get some cardio training and endurance training. And again, you're not using them to train that, because obviously they're not specific as riding your bike, but there's something that you have fun and the fitness and the cardio side kind of come as a side effect from that. And so again, like, you know, cross training, prioritizing flexibility, it's, you know, we're constantly putting the same stress on the same muscles over and over and over again when we're riding our bike and when we're working on the specific kinds of fitness and movements that we need on our bike. And so having a time when we're getting away from that, again, is both going to allow the body to just kind of, you know, recover from that. And it's going to allow us to prioritize flexibility work to try and undo some of that tension. So again, if we're constantly adding tension to the system and we never have a point where reducing tension in the system is the priority, then we're going to end up with an overly tense system. And that's what you end up with a lot of riders. And that's going to affect a lot of things. You can't move as efficiently. So it's going to affect your skills. It's going to affect your cardio and endurance, because if you're tight, it's like you're fighting your own body, you know? So being able to get rid of the excess tension and will allow your body to move more efficiently, use less energy to create the same amount of power and same level of movement. And so it's going to, you know, help in a lot of ways. I mean, so many riders are just fighting themselves so hard. It's like driving the car with their parking brake on. But man, if you just keep pressing down on the gas hard enough, you can keep going. But you know, just sometimes just backing off and taking the parking brake off will help even more. So again, so flexibility and again, strength, same thing. Like, we need to have a time during our year, during our training phases, where getting strong is a priority. Because again, when you're out on the bike and you're spending a lot of time doing the specific fitness stuff, you can't get real strong. There's a conflict, you know. It's an endurance sport, so we don't have a chance to get as strong because we're doing a lot of the endurance activity. And two, the level of training, the intensity that you need to make significant strength gains, especially after you've been training for a year or two, a beginner can start in the middle of the riding season and make strength gains easy because they don't have that much strength training experience. But you know, someone who's got a year or two of strength training under their belt, you have the intensity level that it takes to make significant strength gains starts to get high enough to the point that it can and will affect your riding. So we've all felt that, you know, time when you've done a heavy workout and you get out on the trail in the next day or two and you can still feel it in your legs, right? You know, your legs are tired or you know, whatever muscle was particularly taxed, and you can feel it affecting your riding. And so again, the message there is not, wow, I need to like not do strength training, or I need to back off. Well, I mean, it is kind of, I mean, if you're in the middle of your riding season, like, yeah, you know, you do need to kind of gauge your workout intensity by what allows you to ride effectively as well. But that's just it. You're letting your riding dictate your workout intensity at that point. So there needs to be a time when your workout intensity is the most important. And if you have to, you know, rearrange your riding schedule, or just not, you know, go as hard on the ride because the workout was a little harder, then this is the time to do it. The general physical prep phase is that time to do that. So again, those elements, the cross training, to help create a well-rounded athlete, and just, you know, work on movement patterns that we don't use on the bike, and just make sure that we're not, you know, becoming just too narrowly niched into those specific fitnesses and movements that we need on the bike, because that will start to hold us back. So cross training, flexibility, and strength, like those are three things that you need to have a period where you're emphasizing them, and your riding and the specific riding fitness stuff is going to take a back seat to those things. And so again, there is a time after that, you know, so we spend a month doing the transition. You spend, depending upon, you know, how long your season, or, you know, how soon your season starts, you can get anywhere from like, you know, 3 to 4 months of general physical prep in, and then you transition into your specific physical prep. And then this is where most people start out at. And this is the, you know, the real specific intervals and cardio work, the things that are really targeted towards the types of the specific types of fitness that you're going to need on the bike. You know, getting out on the trail is going to start taking priority. So focusing more on, you know, race pace rides, and again, like letting your rides dictate the intensity of your workouts. At this point, your workouts and other things do start to take a back seat, so you can make more time for riding and the specific fitness stuff, and also so that you're not interfering with your ability to perform on the trail, because the other general stuff, you know, just has to start taking a back seat. So, and then you get in the competitive phase, which is obviously the riding season. And again, that's where the riding is the top priority, and the training starts to become just what helps support that. So, but again, if you don't make use of the transition phase and you don't make use of the general physical prep phase, then all that specific stuff is not going to be as effective. And you're going to find yourself, a lot of times what people find is they come into the season and they're almost like in peak fitness coming into the season, because they didn't have any sort of general physical prep phase. They don't have a strong base to support it. They find themselves starting to really find, you know, their fitness starts to suffer towards the middle and end of the season. And so anyways, that's just kind of one of the telltale signs of not a strong enough general physical prep phase is coming in, you know, in peak fitness and then fading off towards the end of the season. So, you know, I tell people, honestly, I mean, just as like a little side note, like, you know, the riding season's so long, like you almost want to, you know, not come in, not in shape is not the right word, but needing to ride yourself into shape a little bit at the beginning of the riding season is probably a good idea. Like if you come into your first race super sharp, you will have a tough time maintaining that edge through the whole riding season because of how long it is. So coming in with it pretty darn sharp, and then, you know, using the first, you know, month and first race or two to like get it to that razor's edge, and you will have a much easier time maintaining that that edge throughout the season. So again, just kind of something to think about when you're planning your stuff out. So that's the first mistake. Again, that's kind of a big mistake, is not making good use of those basic periodization principles. So no matter what plan you're using, make sure that it has those elements of the transition phase, the general physical prep phase, the specific physical prep phase, and then finally your competitive phase. So that's the first mistake. Now the second mistake, getting into the second mistake, and this is kind of a unique thing, I guess, kind of one of my unique takes on training, but I think that most riders don't make good use of inefficiency training during the off season, especially during their cardio work. Now, what do I mean by that? So remember, anything that will make something easier will eventually make you weaker. And so having some elements of inefficiency training, things that actually make things less efficient and harder, can force the body to learn how to become more efficient to make up for it. So in the world of track and field, which again, I've mentioned several times I come from, so that definitely influences my thinking on this stuff. But, you know, again, we race on a track, you know, special surface with special shoes that allow us to maximize everything, force transfer into the ground and all of that stuff, so that we can run with maximum efficiency and maximum speed, and then that's where you set your fastest times. But again, that's not where how you do all of your training. There's definitely that is part of the training, but you know, for example, we don't do a lot of running and track in our racing spikes. So we will run in training flats that are less efficient than the racing spikes. So again, that both forces us to learn to become a little more efficient and save some wear and tear on our joints, you know. But the other things like running on sand, running uphill, you know, even running on grass. So all of those things are less efficient, and they force the body to become stronger and more efficient in order to compensate for the inefficiency of the training method. So taking this to the bike, how do most people train in the off season, especially doing their cardio training? Well, they get on a road bike with clipless pedals, which again, you know, I know is a specific thing that most people use during their racing, which is fine. But so you're in an actually a way more efficient mode. You're on the road, so you have a more efficient surface than the trail, which is dirt. You're on a road bike, which is lighter and stiffer and more efficient than a mountain bike. And again, you've got the clipless pedals, which are the same efficiency as what a lot of people race in. So for all intents and purposes, you're training with a far more efficient method than what you actually race and ride with. And so that's the opposite direction of how you should be going for training, really, you know, from my perspective, that you should be making use of the inefficiency principles. And so doing things like, you know, riding flat pedals, again, not to like, you know, this is one of the things, like, I believe that how you pedal on flat pedals is a good indicator of how you pedal with clipless pedals. And so it's just like, you know, doing some squats without a weight belt, like spending some time on flats, especially in the off season, will force you to smooth out your pedal stroke, you know. And so when you go back to clipless pedals, you will actually be better with them. So flats are, you know, it's not that they let you pedal less efficiency, it's that there's a less efficient transfer of the power you're creating into the pedals. And so because you're pedaling the same way, it's just that efficiency of the power transfer into the pedal that's the difference. Then, yes, so because they're less efficient, then they will force you to learn how to become more efficient to compensate for that. So when you go back to using the clipless pedals, that'll help. Same thing with the weight of your bike. You know, in my mind, you should be riding a bike that weighs more than what you race on. So suspension, if you're a downhiller, then you should probably be riding a bike that has less suspension than what you usually use. If you're a trail rider or a cross country rider, then using a bike that has more suspension than what you usually use will make it less efficient. And then finally, wheel size. So again, are bigger wheels more efficient? Well, yeah, you know, in rolling stuff like that. Yeah. So guess what? Whatever makes something easier will also make you weaker. So using the smaller wheels will force you to get stronger again. So your off-season training bike, realistically, should weigh more, the suspension should move in the opposite direction of what you usually use. So if you usually ride a big suspension bike, it should move to smaller. And if you usually ride, you know, less suspension, ride more. And, you know, smaller wheels, if you're riding a 29er, or even a, you know, 650B, like going around and banging around on some 26-inch wheels, man, again, that will make you become more efficient, both from a skill standpoint and from a cardio standpoint and just everything. So, you know, getting away from the most efficient training method possible and moving towards some inefficiency training. Again, I'm not saying there's never a time or place for using, you know, the road, even though I'd still argue that you need to be on your mountain bike just from a specificity standpoint. Anyway, so the point is that you just need to be making use of inefficiency training as part of your program as well. So big mistake that I see riders make. I mean, you know, imagine if you come back, if you're a cross country rider and you're pounding around in the off season on a, 30 plus pound, 5-6 inch travel bike on flats. I mean, imagine when you get back on your race bike when it's time to get into the more specific stuff, like, man, you're going to fly. But, you know, that's kind of the opposite feeling that most people get coming out of that stuff, because they spend so much time on the road and on a road bike that when they get on their mountain bike, it feels slow and sluggish and heavy compared to what they're used to. So again, in my mind, that just doesn't make a whole ton of sense. So in my mind, it makes more sense to use some of that inefficiency training during your cardio work. So there you go. Just kind of some thoughts from me on that. So anyways, kind of some take home things to wrap things up. Your plan, it doesn't have to be complicated. It just needs to follow some basic guidelines to help you prioritize the different elements of training. There's a lot of things that you can use, and just knowing when to prioritize the specific stuff and when that stuff needs to take a little bit of a back seat and work on some of the general stuff is a really important thing for making sure that you're seeing progress, not just this off season, but, you know, setting yourself up for good progress next off season and the off season after that. You want to make sure you're compounding, like you're building, continually building each off season on the previous off season, instead of just kind of starting over where you were in the first place. So, right now, going into the off season, you know, look at that transition phase, look at the general physical prep phase. You know, focus should be on cross training, flexibility, and strength for a few months before you start shifting over to the real specific on-bike fitness stuff that you need. And when you do that, make sure you're looking at inefficiency means of training as well. So, you know, riding some flat pedals, riding a bike that weighs more, is less efficient in the suspension department, smaller wheels, whatever the case may be, something that makes it less efficient and makes it more challenging for you will really help as well. So that's it. Just some things to help you going into the off season. You know, obviously I'm biased, but I do believe the Ultimate MTB Workout Program is the best done for you plan to cover all those bases in the most efficient manner possible. I mean, it is based on my 10 plus years of working exclusively with mountain bikers and plus my own experience. And so definitely able to, you know, get a lot of good stuff in there and show you how to put it together in a plan. So if you do need something like that, you know, be sure and check it out at ultimatemtbworkout.com. You can also check me out at bikejames.com. I've got a free 30-day workout that'll kind of show you some of these things in action and help you kind of get the ball rolling with a good training program if you don't have something planned already. So that does it for this podcast. Hope you guys have enjoyed it, found it informative. And again, check me out at bikejames.com when you get a chance. And if you got any questions, you can leave them there. I'll get to them as soon as I can. And I'll talk to you in the next podcast.